All right, Alexander, let's talk about the invasion of the Ukraine military into Belgorod and Kursk. They've tried it once, they've tried it twice, they've tried it three times, and they're just getting annihilated. They're trying to invade Russia, these border towns. All of this is going on during a time when Russia's holding its presidential elections. So obviously there's a PR angle to this, but there could be some more to this than just a PR angle. There are reports that a lot of these troops are foreign mercenaries or foreign trained. And there are a lot of reports that there may have been some idea of some sort of advancement into a nuclear facility and some sort of sabotage or false flag event being cooked up by the Zelensky regime and the Ukraine military. But the bottom line is that they're just getting annihilated with each and every attempt. And when I mean they're getting annihilated, it's very, very bad for the Ukraine military. And I just want to say that I think this is going to have a reverse effect than what the Zelensky regime and perhaps their NATO handlers are thinking this is going to have, because I'm starting to hear talk about Russia perhaps moving to create a buffer zone. This was discussed months ago, specifically by Medvedev, but now they're talking again about, you know, we're getting a bit sick and tired of this, of these stunts that they're pulling. So maybe we're finally ready to create a nice demilitarized buffer zone so that we don't have to deal with these types of incursions and strikes into Belgorod and Kursk.
Well, that's exactly right. I think you summarized the situation very well. Now, this was by far the most organized, pre-prepared, and largest attempt at an incursion into Belgorod and Kursk region that the Ukrainians have carried out up to now. I mean, it looks like thousands of men were committed. There's been a large numbers of tanks and Bradley infantry fighting vehicles. The fact that the Bradleys were being used for this strongly suggests that the Western powers were, have provided the green light for this. I've also received reports, which I believe are true, that the French Foreign Legion provided a lot of the training for the troops that carried out this incursion. I also understand that the planning for this might have been done through the West. Kirill Budanov's name gets much cited here about, you know, playing the role that he's supposed to have played. It was clearly done with a view to disrupting the Russian elections. And you could see all the various pieces that were moved at the same time. You send troops into Belgorod and Kursk. You try and capture some villages. You claim that the troops who are entering Belgorod and Kursk are Russians, not Ukrainians at all, but Russians who are opposed to Putin. That claim, by the way, has become completely threadbare and has collapsed as a result of an attempt by the Ukrainians to try and insert a paratroop group with helicopters behind the Russian lines. That attempt catastrophically failed, by the way. But anyway, it's clearly a Ukrainian military operation. But anyway, the idea was gain control of some villages in Russia, presumably declare some kind of alternative government or something like that in some of these villages. Perhaps, in fact, quite plausibly, in fact, I'm getting reports that this was very much part of the initial plan. Seize this facility near Belgorod where nuclear weapons were stored. There's no doubt this facility exists. The only question is whether there are actually nuclear weapons there. And I wonder whether the Russians would, in fact, keep nuclear weapons so close to the contact line. But anyway, that's another story. Seize that facility, embarrass the Kremlin, embarrass Putin, blackmail the Russian government, say, you know, we're in control, you must pull back from Ukraine or we'll do something really bad, who knows. They apparently brought a large amount of engineering equipment with them, intending to consolidate control of the villages that they captured and to fortify them against any possible Russian counterattack and drag this thing on for weeks. And at the same time, even as all this was going on, another big fleet of drones launched into Russia, into the depths of Russia, to try to cause as much disruption within Russia itself as possible, targeting oil refineries and that kind of thing. And the point is, every single part of this operation fell apart. It's clear that the Russians got wind of it. In fact, they seem to have been very well informed about it, which is interesting in itself. They'd moved, prepared their troops on the border, and no part of this operation has so far succeeded. No villages have been captured. There's a huge amount of information war going on. So you have all these videos that have appeared with supposedly dissident Russian soldiers from this group that's invading Russia, claiming that they're in control of some of these villages. It's been very easy to expose these videos as fakes, by the way. And they are. They've all been exposed as fakes. Anyway, this whole operation quickly unraveled, quickly failed. None of the villages have been captured. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of troops committed to this operation have been killed or wounded. Ukrainian troops have been killed or wounded. The Russians have been bombing and attacking these forces that have been deployed to all of this to carry out this operation with their aircraft and their helicopters and their artillery and all of that. Large numbers of tanks, large numbers of Bradleys have been destroyed. And so far, nothing has been achieved. But, and this is what is so astonishing about these kind of things, even though it's clear that whatever the original plan was, it's not going to succeed, the Ukrainians just go on day after day, continuing with it. They've been launching more attacks. They did launch more yesterday. Yesterday was the day when they carried out this helicopter landing. As I said, it seems all of the troops who were involved in that were annihilated. Anyway, they carry on. They continue to reinforce failure in this way. They've lost again some of presumably their most motivated troops, large numbers of them. They've lost valuable equipment. And of course, they've incensed the Russians and provided Putin with even more reason now to tell the Russian people, look, Ukraine is indeed a danger. We've got to establish this buffer zone in Kharkiv region, because if we don't, this kind of thing will just go on happening. So the decision to launch, the decision by the Russians to obtain this buffer zone will undoubtedly have been hardened and will now undoubtedly be executed in response to this event.
Do you think this was a part of Nuland's surprise?
Yes, absolutely.
A component of her surprise?
Because this must have
been sanctioned, like you said, yes, by the collective West, by NATO. Yeah.
Yes. I have to say, I was thinking about this very thought yesterday, and I think you're absolutely right. I think it absolutely was part of the surprise. And of course, we see how it's failed catastrophically. And I'm going to go even further, and I wonder whether perhaps, and this is now, we're now going to very deep speculation indeed, whether there are weren't some people in Washington who found out about all of this and said to themselves, you know, these ideas that Vicky is coming up with are becoming more and more dangerous and more crazy. And whether this was one of the things that led to the decision to ask her to resign.
I wonder how some people in Congress, in the House and Senate, if they're getting this intel and they're seeing that after careful planning with NATO and the Ukraine military, this operation is not succeeding and it's become a complete catastrophe. I wonder if they're getting proper intel on the situation and they're saying, yeah, this is hardening their position about the $61 billion to Ukraine. And they're saying, you know, this is a disaster. This whole operation is just a complete disaster. Every single part of it leads to failure. And now Ukraine is using up men, money, material, for what? To gain nothing again. It really does remind me of the counteroffensive where they made all these big claims that they're going to gain all of this territory and get to the Sea of Azov, and they couldn't even capture the village of Rabotino.
Exactly.
And this seems like it's the same, but they've kept it quiet. I mean,
yes, they've kept it very
talked about much in the media.
They've kept it very quiet because it has failed so badly. But this last point that you said about the fact that they've kept it quiet takes us to exactly the problem. Now, there are some people in Congress who are very well informed about these things because they make a point of being well informed about these things. So someone like J.D. Vance, for example, is fully familiar with what's going on in the border regions. He knows all about this debacle. He knows about the fact that Bradleys were used, American machines, infantry fighting vehicles, to launch an attack on Russia. He knows all about this. Marjorie Taylor Greene also knows about these things because, again, she undoubtedly is keeping track of what is going on in Ukraine. I suspect Mike Johnson knows about it. Rand Paul, people like that. But a lot of people in Congress are still getting their news in the media. And the media is not covering this story. And that is the problem. And of course, we can say on this program what, you know, we can provide this explanation of events. We have taken a lot of time, both of us, to corroborate what has actually been happening. You know, we're aware of the film and the pictures that have come out from the battlefronts. We're able to corroborate in minute detail all the various claims and counterclaims and arrive at conclusions. But most members of Congress don't do that. And of course, if they're told this whole thing was a complete debacle and it resulted in hundreds and perhaps thousands of men being killed and wounded, well, they say that's just Russian propaganda because that's what the media tells them, makes them think. So that is the problem. Overall, I think it will, to some extent, harden belief in Washington, in Congress, that this $61 billion is not a good idea. And if some people in Congress get wind of the fact that there might have been a plan or that there might have been part of the plan to seize a nuclear weapons facility, well, I think that will be horrify them, actually. And that will make them even more determined that the $61 billion is not provided. But I'm afraid, given the degree of information control about this incident and about so many others, I think that the impact is going to be limited. The $61 billion perhaps won't be provided, but that's more about domestic political issues within the United States than because of events like the ones we've just seen on the border between Russia and Ukraine.
Okay, so how does this affect the Zelensky regime? And I go back to what Dmitry Yarosh, right sector Banderite, said a couple of weeks ago, where he was outright calling for regime change because he was saying that Zelensky is basically sending Ukrainian soldiers to their death, knowingly sending them to their death, and he's vanishing the Ukraine population with his crazy operation. That's pretty much what Yarosh was saying. And he's like, this guy has to be removed. And now yes. You have an operation like this taking place. Yes. And this one was bad. I mean, this ended very, it hasn't even stopped yet. It's still going.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a complete annihilation of the Ukraine military. And it's embarrassing. I mean, it's very embarrassing from the standpoint that you are getting videos, Alexander, on social media, where you do have Ukrainian troops taking videos and saying, look, we're on Russian territory. And then people are geolocating these videos. Even Ukrainian news sources that I'm positive people like Yarosh are following.
Yes.
And they're geolocating these videos of Ukraine soldiers claiming they're on Russian territory. And they're saying, you're not on Russian territory. You're somewhere in Ukraine filming these propaganda videos. I mean, this whole affair is looking incredibly reckless, embarrassing, stupid, and devastating for the Ukraine military. So what do you think is going to be happening in Ukraine, especially with the likes of people like Yarosh?
Well, there's rumors again, and that parts of the Ukrainian military and some of the more hardline nationalist units are becoming really restless, and that they're planning some kind of a coup attempt, that they're planning to capture the parliament and declare Zelensky an illegitimate president. There are these rumors. The trouble I have with these rumors is that they all originate from Russian sources. There's a claim, you see this all over the Russian media, that the Russians have managed to hack some kind of discussion group that's going on within the military, the Ukrainian military, who are basically planning this coup. And, they're providing quite a lot of detail about what this group within the military might do, which plausibly would include people like Yarosh. The trouble is that because it comes from a Russian source, we can't be sure that it is real or that it isn't again an attempt by the Russians to stir up trouble in Kiev. So we'll just have to see. So far, Zelensky has been able to do these crazy things. One gets the sense that more and more people in Ukraine are becoming absolutely furious about this and exhausted by it, and exhausted by him. But no one so far has been prepared to move. Whether this disaster, and you're absolutely right, this is a disaster on an epic scale, will change that. We'll have to see. Now, I would add, by the way, this is, in military terms, it's also a sideshow. The real war, which is in Donbass, goes on. And the Russians are continuing to make advances there. I mean, real advances. This morning, more news that a village called Ivanivka near Bakhmut has either fallen or is on the brink of doing so. More news that other towns like Pervomaisky and Krasnogorovka are also gradually coming under Russian control as well, that the Russians are making more advances there. Reports yesterday starting to appear that the Russians are once again on the move west of Avdiivka. So all of this, that's the real war, and it's being lost. And even as it's being lost, Zelensky sends some of his best, most motivated troops, some of the best equipment Ukraine has, on this crazy adventure in Belgorod and Kursk, which he might have cooked up with Victoria Nuland and co, and which has ended in shambolic disaster. So, it could be that this is the tipping point, but we'll just have to see, because up to now, we've had many events which look like they might be the tipping point. The failure of the offensive last summer, the Khrinky disaster on the east bank of the Dnieper River, the fall of Avdiivka, and the dismissal of Zelensky. And yet somehow, despite all of that, the Zelensky show goes on.
Yeah, but it builds.
It
the
builds.
One L builds on top of the other L.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. We will end it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute, Telegram, Rockfin, and Twitter X. And go to the Duran shop and pick up some limited edition merchandise that we have on the shop. Take care.